This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone.
Bahumia.
I'm your dungeon master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard one, Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Sabin, Wrecker of Rusgak.
Ooh.
Ageless, rageless, and engaged.
Tasteless.
Ooh. Nice, you broke them off.
Yep, huh. No longer fiance, do not have any rages left going into this fight cold.
And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togold the Fifth, slaying the devil's advocate.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Indeed you are. Indeed you are.
This is our first ever episode from the NadPod studio.
Oh, the Nad Hole.
Wow. The Nad Hole, aka... The Nad Hole, aka the Boy Cave, because Emily and I just got a house, and we started to build a studio here. It's about half finished, but I'm thinking it, at first I was like, oh, this is going to look like a tavern. I'm going to paint it to look kind of like Bilbo Baggins' house, like a hobbit hole, but it just ended up looking like a childish version of a man cave, so it's the Boy Cave.
It's the Boy King's.
You haven't dispatched me into the thrift stores to look for shit for this, because me in a thrift store, yo.
Let her loose, man. Let her loose.
Go for it.
Send me on assignment, though.
I'm kind of enjoying the Boy King's Rumpus Room vibe.
Yeah.
This is very, very much Boy King's Rumpus Room.
Yeah.
This is the place where he pops his zits.
Oh, fucking disgusting.
It's like you think it's half finished, but it feels like home already. I'm loving it.
Yeah.
The yellow walls feel very warm. It's like being pissed
off. And we got cascading waterfall. Christmas lights.
We got ambient lighting. Christmas lights up. Yeah. I think also it's nice that this room is like really our own. You know,
it's a D&D room.
This is a room that is for the express like podcasting business. That is it.
It doesn't have the energy and vibe of all those other podcasts that were using HeadGum.
No, don't fuck HeadGum.
Fuck HeadGum.
The podcast network I co-own.
And that gets us all of our ads.
Don't you dare try and record High and Mighty in this room. Wouldn't work.
Shit, Gabrus is knocking. He needs to do a power hour right now.
He just punched a hole in our wall. Jesus Christ. but I planned the whole session today in this room, and I felt like Robb Stark in the fucking war tent.
Yep. Yeah, bitch. And I was naked and covered in a bearskin rug, just like his wife.
How am I supposed to play D&D with you looking like that?
We just watched that scene.
Emily, did you like come up behind him and massage his shoulders and say, come to bed, dear?
Yeah. No, I just fucking lay on my side with that fucking hot ass hourglass.
Yeah.
The lower back dimples.
Yeah. What Amir, the Venus dimples?
Yeah, Amir's trying to get me to marry like some other HeadGum royalty to unite the podcast world, but I'm sticking with Emily.
And when next time we have a meeting that's
killed.
the HeadGum anniversary party. Emily arrives with child. Marty comes and stabs Marty me three times in the
We're stomach. Podcasting for three.
Leave the cats at home. I beg of you.
They fucking kill me and then put my cat's head on me.
Oh my God.
Parade me around the Headgum studio.
Oh my God.
That'd be pretty funny, honestly.
Just as Caldwell showing up to record.
Hey, sorry I'm late, guys.
Caldwell's the blackfish. He's just pissing outside. He just gets killed off screen later, but you think he might come back and do something cool.
I'm texting like 10 minutes out. Can't wait to record. Anyone need food?
Oh my goodness. Okay, guys. We're here to play D&D, so let's do a recap of last week. So last week, you guys snuck down into the crypts below the chapel in Frostwind Cemetery. You were led down there by Ruskak, the de facto leader of the Dwarfen Gang.
AKA my personal punching bag.
There you go. After he pushed Moonshine, you guys entered combat with him, but quickly realized that he was just a punk who talked a big game. Under intimidation, Ruskak revealed that he'd never actually talked to the boss, but only his acolytes, and has never been down to the lower levels himself. Only Joris has done that. So you sent him off, then went down to the second level, where eyeless acolytes of Akarat's order were wandering about. One of them caught Beverly and brought him to see the boss himself. Akarat attempted to recruit Bev and told him that his paladin powers could be used to channel the power of the Nine Hells. Bev refused, but Akarat offered him a coin and said to call him should he ever need help. Akarat also revealed some of his own powers, that he has the ability to see through the eyes of his followers and in some cases control their entire bodies. Such was the case with his current form. Bev and Akarat were then joined by Hard One and Moonshine, and Akarat demanded that Ulfgar be returned to him. Additionally, he offered information on Gemma's murder, provided one of you join him. You refused all of Akarat's offers, but as a show of good faith, he allowed Hard One to take a crack at the man who threw the knife and presumably killed Gemma. Unfortunately, when Hard One pulled back the hair of the dwarf, it was revealed to be another one of Akarat's hollow bodies. What?
What?
Hollow bodies.
No, we remember.
And he stabbed Hard One. A fight ensued, and you defeated Akarat's two hollow body forms. You then found a note in his office that made it seem like whoever was following Gemma was also following the missing pale prince. You then heard a shriek and ran down the hall through some double doors where Joris was about to be inducted into the order. You saw about a dozen acolytes in robes surrounding a disgusting beast with big empty eye sockets and huge heavy bags under its eyes, drooping and crying. Puddles of black tears approaching an unconscious Joris chained to the floor, and that's where we are now. So you guys are in this cave-like room. There are candles everywhere. There are about 12 acolytes chanting. At the doors behind you, to the sides, are the two guards that were guarding Akarat's room. They're wearing blackened leather armor with daggers at their sides, and the rest of the guys are just in robes. And Joris is about to get fucked up by this hunched back, saggy-skinned, crying monster with big ol' empty eye sockets. Its spine juts out like sticks in a tent under its baggy skin.
Oh,
it has spiked hands that it uses to hobble on like big canes, and you guys are wearing robes, so provided that you guys are kind of hunched over, you're kind of blending in right now and everybody's a little distracted. What do you do?
Under my breath, I whisper the words to turn the faithless using my amulet, and I cast it on the beast.
Okay, so what does he roll?
It's a wisdom saving throw.
I am so sorry, but he rolled a natural 17, which
that's
means
pretty
he definitely
good.
Passes.
Okay.
That's so you wise. See him get he has closer. No eyes, right? Just sockets?
He's crying. He's got eyes. They just crying,
you see
right?
He takes a spiked hand, dips it into the black goo that it's been crying, and jams it in one of Joris' eyes.
Jesus, I throw my javelin at him.
Okay.
Can I do that?
I'm just rushing him.
Yeah. Go ahead and roll initiative.
All right.
21.
7.
12.
Wait, did he get that in his eye?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. My boy lost an eye?
Your boy lost an eye.
Oh, hey, okay. Ain't nothing wrong with an eye patch, a little character.
Bev goes to turn the faithless on this dude. He resists. He roars this shrieking cry. And like fucking Dhalsim from Street Fighter, he's got this like harpoon hand that he scoops this black gunk and shoves a spike right into Joris's eye.
Ooh.
Hard one, that is you.
Yeah, you're not going to turn him with a fucking prayer, bud. Out of the way. I'm going to throw my spear at him.
Go for it. Oh, nice. You're lightning.
Yeah, my javelin.
Your lightning javelin.
Ooh.
Go for it.
I crit.
Yes!
Dude.
Yes, critting yes. with the lightning javelin.
Wait, is that the first attack of the studio is a crit?
Oh. Beautiful. I have crit with a crit.
Oh, Melora's masturbating in the corner.
Jesus.
That's the creepiest image.
Hello, Nadpod tattoo.
That's some fucking Blumhouse shit, Emily. Don't say that out loud.
So when you throw the lightning javelin, it forms a line 5 feet wide that extends from you, and everybody needs to make a dexterity saving throw.
Wow.
And they take 4d6 lightning damage on a failed save and half as much on a successful one.
And because you crit.
So it does javelin damage, which is 1d6 plus 4d6 of lightning damage.
Damn.
And you fucking crit. You're going to do 10d6 damage with this.
Wow.
On a whole fucking line of people.
Yeah, so I'm going to say that these guys are kind of circled up. So I'll say there are 12 guys, so you're going to have line on like three of them plus the main sad dude.
I'm sad.
I'm just going to start finally getting some D6s, voice on this guy. My dude.
Yeah, get this man some D6s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, five.
The acolytes do not save. And these guys are not, so you guys, when you guys, last time you guys fought the Eyeless, they were like these paladin guys that had chainmail and stuff. These guys are just in robes, so these guys are a different ilk.
Yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, just so dumb they're going to be easier to hit.
And the fucking sad guy rolls a one, so everybody fails.
You're about to be even sadder.
Woo!
Count sixes. Them up.
32 damage.
Ooh.
Jesus.
Wait, but that's before the javelin. What do I roll for the javelin?
The javelin two is just 1d6 plus your strength modifier.
But then isn't it two because he crit?
Yes, 2d6 is because you crit. So you see this monster shoves a spike into Joris's eye. Joris was unconscious. Joris wakes up and starts screaming. You throw your javelin. Explosion of lightning as it goes through all these acolytes. Toasts. Three of them. Just gone. And then sinks itself into the chest of this beast.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, because you don't fuck with anybody from the dwarfenage, bitch.
Yeah.
Six more javelin damage to that guy. Oh, plus my strength modifier?
Ooh.
14.
Jesus.
He's crying now.
You hit this dude right in the chest. You see he gets shocked.
Oh, I don't like being shocked. Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yep, I'm sad.
That is his turn. He is going to... He turns his attention from Joris, who is on the ground, like, spasming, trying to grab at his missing eye that now is just this... blackened like smoke mark. It almost looks like there's like ash in his eye. He's like trying to grab at it, but he's chained down.
Don't touch it, bud.
Don't pick at it.
It hurts so bad. I do not like this.
Uh-huh. You're only gonna make it worse. He shoots a harpoon like extendo arm at you, hard one.
Oh, you got one too.
And he misses big time.
Yes.
You duck out of the way.
I roll out of the way.
You roll out of the way.
Sick barrel
like a
roll.
Real turd, though.
A little bit unnecessary of a barrel roll.
It's more like a sideways somersault.
Sort of like when you jump up for a frisbee that wasn't that high.
That is...
You rip your pants.
Moonshine's turn.
All right.
So, Moonshine, you've got 9 acolytes that have now...
Right.
Now everyone has turned their attention to you guys because they were all just kind of watching this go down and chanting for this beast to do its job. But now they've all turned to you now that lightning has blown up many of their friends.
Okay, Joris's eye. Does it look like that's something like that I could almost cauterize or something like that if I went over there?
His one eye looks like one of the Eyeless's eyes. Like
right,
the smoky,
it looks like something
eye.
Is fucked up. I'm wondering, can I just like, can I do anything to like, to make that whatever transformation is happening stop?
You see that he looks... traumatized and he's screaming. So he has not been inducted fully yet, but he lost an eye. So you just need to kind of kill this guy or grab him and run.
Do you want me to? I might be equipped to handle that.
Okay. Well, it sounds like maybe it's not something that is like spreading to his other
eye. Right. It's more like they have to remove both of his eyes before they do the thing.
All or nothing, yeah.
First off, I just want to say, y'all, I pity this eye monster. He's crying black tears like Maribel did.
He's enjoying it.
Help me, I don't enjoy it.
He loves it.
I hate it.
I think that there's like a nice little shopkeeper under there.
Please.
There might be, but let's put him out of his
way. I owned a hot dog car.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. Don't
Not
worry.
Not really. I was born in hell.
Oh, okay.
I'm a failure.
But did you sell hot dogs?
I'm just a harvester. I need to harvest their eyes with my tears.
So the eyes are like,
I'm a failed hollow body.
Sounds like a blue collar job.
I'm a failure.
No, you're not.
So do you have hot dogs or not? Clarify.
I lied about the freaking hot dogs.
Moonshine, he doesn't have any hot dogs. Kill him.
Well, and just in case he might, do I have a clear shot that I can run over up and attack him?
Yeah, you guys are like 15 or 20.
All right, yeah, I'm going straight for him. But okay. I'm attacking not to kill. Just want to put that out there.
He is a full on hell monster.
I'm not attacking
we'll
to kill just
that.
Yet.
You slashed into that
I'm
team.
I'm going to put him unconscious.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, but this guy sounds like a small business owner, and I can appreciate that work
ethic. I was lying. I'm sorry.
At the end of the day, we might be able to turn him into a dolphin, which would be a nice upgrade.
Go ahead and take a crack at him.
13.
13 does not hit.
All right, well, I'm still going to spores him for 12.
Okay.
Why did you do that?
Because I'm trying to save you.
I don't want to be saved.
That right, is... Now. The guys at the door, these guys with like blackened leather armor, they are going to run up behind Hard One.
Do they want to be saved?
These guys are full eyeless zombie dudes.
I do not want to be saved. I love serving Dark Master.
Okay.
You can all live long lives as dolphins if you come with us.
Yeah, stick around. I got polymorphs for all y'all.
Shout out to the two crew, first two of the new studio.
Yes.
Is some nerd fucking.
The Tudio.
The Tudio! Wow. Oh my God, we came up with
the Tudio.
I don't know.
I think Nadhole's pretty good.
Nadhole is very good.
The Boy Cave, aka the Tudio.
The Tudio. Hey, really, that fucking floored me. I have to go home.
He tries to stab you in the ass, and you catch the knife between your butt cheeks.
And I let it go into my butt cheek just a little because I had an itch there.
Just enough to activate your prostrate.
Why would you do it? What is this?
That's right, a little to the left.
The other guy tries to stab you in the ass. He definitely hits.
All right, I was distracted.
So he does 14 damage to you, Hard One. Just right. A big, chunky stab of the ass.
Right in the meat.
Right in the meat of the ass. And Bev, that's
honestly,
your turn.
Honestly, probably one of the most comfortable places to get stabbed.
That's true.
Unless mm-hmm. you've got like a really muscular one, then you're going to be tearing a lot of valuable muscle, and which
actually,
you
Hard
do.
One actually has a real fat ass.
Oh, shit.
Of course, I have a badonkadonk.
Moonshine sees this and having a similar badonkadonk herself feels like sympathy pains.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Beverly.
This is so thick, I know you feel that. I know you feel it in your stringy muscle.
Ooh. That's the sound I made when the guy scratched my ass.
Yeah.
Anyway, Beverly Togold, the flattest ass in Bohemia, approaches the harvester.
I believe it.
Just
ass like a coaster.
No meat on this tush. And I'm going to use my last divine smite.
Oh, nice.
Does an 18 hit.
18 sure hits.
It's all righty.
I'm just a big naked guy, man.
I'm aiming for the nakedest part.
Oh, my bags of skin.
Yeah, you stab into his very droopy eyelids and just black ooze comes out.
Going for the bags.
Oh, my bags, man. No.
All right, that's 14. And then is this a, I imagine
He's
this
a super
is a fiend.
Fiend.
Yeah. All right, so I get
super
to do.
Super fiend, super fiend, super fiendish.
All right, so I get to do 3d8.
Yeah.
It's 14 and then.
Remember everyone, don't hit to kill.
Keep me alive, I'm from hell. This is the only way Akron could
like finding a black
me.
Widow in your house. And Emily's like, don't kill it, don't kill it.
That's 26 damage.
Jesus, dude. Yeah, he looks super hurt.
I'm so hurt.
I can't tell if you're actually sad or if it's just the tears coming out.
I'm freaking sad, man.
Will the tears, like, change colors if you're actually sad? I'm very confused.
I'm sad.
All right, so that is the Acolyte's turn. You see they are speaking in tongues. They lift their hands up to all nine of them, cast Cure Wounds.
Cure Wounds? That's my shit, bitch.
I jump in the way of one of them to get some on my ass.
Oh, yeah.
I have cured the bad guy.
Do it on my butt.
The guy who's been stabbed in the butt.
I want to mind a cure on my butt, too.
Nothing even happened to it.
I know. I'm at full health, but... You don't turn down a cure on the ass when it comes your way.
Well, they're not cure your ass.
They cure him for a bunch of HP.
Hmm.
Not that much, though. They're not great, as can be told by them getting roasted by a javelin passing them by.
Mm.
That is back up to Hard One.
Wait, I only took one attack.
Oh!
Okay.
May I have another, please?
Yes, go ahead and take your attack.
Okay. Shout out to the two crew. Oh, fuck. I never activated my sword.
You didn't activate your sword.
Oh. Okay. All right, well, can I activate it as a bonus action this time?
Yes, yes, right, cool. Yes. Okay, so you activate it as a bonus action.
I picture you activating your sword being like someone sharpening their knife. You know, like when you see like a chef who's like really good at sharpening his knife and it looks like...
You'd think that, but what I do is I kiss the entire length of the blade.
Just blood all over your lips.
So sharp.
Just little
pecks. I like
pecks.
It all as little pecks.
That is Hard One's turn.
I'd like to turn around on the guys stabbing me in the ass and swing my axe on the one that did not stab my ass, but itched my ass.
Okay.
Hmm.
Interesting.
I'm just hanging out. I'm just here to itch
you.
You
shouldn't
ass.
Have touched my ass. It inspired the other
I
guy.
I did it for the Dark Lord.
You see his eyes turn red.
Ekarut can see you now.
Does a 15 hit him?
It does.
Thin armor.
You itch the ass, you get the axe.
Oh.
You shouldn't have touched my buttocks.
Axe for ass.
Axe for ass.
Axe for ass.
That's the name of this episode, right, Murph?
Axe for ass, yeah. That's, everyone unsubscribe.
16 damage.
He's so hurt, but still alive.
I'm going to take a second swing at him.
Okay.
21.
That hits.
Hee-hee.
That hits.
Wow. 18.
He's gone. Finish him.
Cool. I take the... he was a sword that went into my ass?
It was... Yeah, it was like... It was a dagger.
Cool. I take the dagger, I pick a little dingleberry off my butt, and then I shove it through his mouth.
Oh, this bad!
Sure does.
You had that dingleberry just ready to go?
I've had this since Galateron, brother.
Those sliders took a beating coming at you.
We took a bath at your house, and that was the last time.
It's true. Your diet has been very varied since we started this.
So you go, you stick that dingleberry through this guy's face, and it hits the guy next to him, because we got cleave rules. It's been a long time since you guys have fought stupid wieners.
That's nice.
And you do 8 damage to the guy next to him.
Wow.
Ow, you did 8 damage to me.
That is the bad boy, the big sad guy.
Oh, I'm so sad.
The bad boy, the sad boy.
He's going to, his big harpoon Dalsim arm is like deflated next to Hard One, and he pulls it back and he's going to shoot it out again.
And it's all flaccid?
It's so flaccid. That is only a 15 to hit. He fucking misses again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I rolled out of the way again.
Oh, wait. So I was wrong. He does roll with advantage on attacks. I forgot to do that when people are near him. Mm. So Hard One, he does hit you.
Okay. My roll was for naught.
Hard One Surefoot, the roly-poly.
Don't let that catch on.
Hard One, he hits you for 25. This harpoon arm shoots out, and the spike stabs into you, and you are grappled.
Oh,
you
shit.
Need to use an action to get out of it. And... Bev and Moonshine, you guys are up in the mix with him. He cries these big oozy tears out of his big gaping eye sockets. Uh-huh. And you guys are going to take some damage as these tears.
I just want to be clear that I take the damage because I'm sympathetically scooping up his tears.
I appreciate
it. Drinking them.
Wait,
these
are these like
so poisonous and bad?
I will kiss the tears from your cheek.
Are these projectile tears?
No, because you're up in the mix, right? You attacked him.
Yeah,
you're right next to him.
He's gushing. It's like he's standing just gushing. Next to a waterfall.
Yeah, he's gushing.
It's just like being at Six Flags under like the misting machine.
Yes. So you guys are essentially on the bridge by a log flume, and you guys take 9 damage each.
Oh, we're in the splash zone.
I don't like it.
9 damage each. That's okay. Moonshine's turn.
All right. I don't tell him this.
Oh, I'm sorry, I cried on you.
I keep up my sympathetic tone, but now I want to kill him.
Okay.
But I'm still acting like I'm going to show him mercy.
I'm glad I have at least one friend here.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm on your side.
Thank you.
Does a 22 hit?
It super does.
All right.
Why are you swinging that sword at me if we're friends?
Because you're gonna be a lot happier when you're unconscious.
Why is your sword on fire?
All right, he's gonna take 21.
Jesus, nice.
Nice roll.
Rosaline, first time ever getting to use your fire gem?
No, I've used it.
Oh, okay.
I warmed up on goddamn Rustak.
Second time ever using it on a hell beast. That's good.
So that's
first
21?
Time used on a teen.
21.
And then I'm gonna cry some fucking spores at him.
You're sad too.
You know, your story's moving me so much. For 12
your tears
more hit
hurt
points.
Too, but
are you like flicking the sleep out of your eyes?
I got eye crusties that are actually just poisonous spores.
I have to respect it.
So 32, bitch.
Okay, he is very hurt. That is the guy who successfully stabbed your ass, hard one.
Oh shit!
That's his turn. He's going to. You turned around. He's going to try to stab you.
Oh, he's going for the other cheek.
Shit, he sucks ass when he doesn't have sneak attack. He takes a wild swing at your dick. He misses
respect.
So hard.
Thank God.
I do not know how to hit in the front.
That really would have changed the story.
I want to cut your dick off.
What a night.
I will not rest
finally
until
getting
your dick
back
is
together
gone.
With your girlfriend and then getting your dick off.
God damn. Yeah,
now
go from first base to your penis.
It kind of works out because Jake's favorite character in Game of Thrones is Theon.
Yeah, but my favorite character is Reek.
Right. Dude fucking loves Reek and Viserys.
Yeah.
Those are his two favorite characters.
If Hardwood's dick got chopped off, he would instantly scream, Theola! I accept you as my lord and savior!
Akron, I'm ready to make a deal!
I'll make a deal with the devil.
Bring my dick back, I'll kill my friends.
I need you to bring back the most important thing I've ever lost.
That is Beverly's turn.
Okay.
When you bring it back, can you bring it back just a little bit bigger?
He brings it back. No. It was way bigger than this. Akron.
Could I do a comedy routine to stop the harvester from crying?
Operation
roll,
Funny
roll
Lad.
Two nat 20s in a row.
Okay. Can I use my performance
if you
bonus?
Get one. That's
no.
So fucking awesome.
Did you roll a nat 20?
20.
If you roll another goddamn nat 20, then Pelor has blessed you to make this guy stop crying.
To do a type 5?
This is insane. Okay.
Well, I got a 5.
Okay. I will still let you do an attack if you would like. Because of the nat 20, you dance so naturally.
Why are you dancing?
Is it cheering you up?
No.
Did somebody order a stripper?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess.
I instinctively start stripping too.
What the nat 20 does is it allows like a perfect skip into just a forward stab. That would have been insane.
Yeah, wait, can I use the nat 20 for like critical damage?
No, now you have to attack.
Fine. Okay.
If you had gotten 2 nat 20s in a row to make a hell beast stop crying because of dancing.
No, I was going to do a stand-up set.
Right, okay.
What's the deal with the devil? Do you make a deal with the devil?
Not
bad. It's wordplay.
That's good.
Thank you.
Hard
thank
one's
you.
Chuckling.
Yeah. Moonshine's into it. She drops her sword and she's slapping her
wait,
knees.
Wait, no.
Somewhere,
slur clap.
Somewhere old Cobb's nose is bleeding.
Do one about airship travel.
Have you ever had the food? It's just rat sashimi.
That's my father's ship you're talking about.
So sorry.
What did you get on your attack roll?
I got a 25.
25, that hits, okay. Believe it or not.
Neato. All right, let's do some damage. That is going to be 10 for my first attack.
Okay, he is so goddamn hurt.
Yeah. I'm so goddamn hurt.
Kill him.
If you would just laugh, this could have been different.
I can't laugh. I'm too sad.
I had a lot of topical stuff.
Let me harvest this boy.
I had some real zingers about gnomes.
Show them what we do to hecklers, Bev.
Does 15 hit?
15 does not
hit. All right.
He is a heckler because he's from heck.
I'm from heck.
He laughs a little bit.
That was fucking hilarious.
Does he laugh at me whiffing as I try to hit him?
Yeah.
That was funny, kid.
I fall right on my ass.
That is back to the Acolyte's turn. Cool. They are going to all cast Cure Wounds on the big old beast.
Use up all your spell slots on someone else, and then we'll just kill you.
We do not have many spell slots. We suck so much ass. We're doing what we can.
They all say that in unison.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. We suck so goddamn bad.
Dang it, okay. They're acknowledging how much they suck. What else do we have to go on?
You cannot own us, for we are already owned.
This is 8 Mile rules.
They sound so cute.
How do you dunk on the already dunked?
We cannot be dunked on. We are the ball.
That is hard one's turn.
I'm going to swing at the guy that stabbed my ass and tried to chop off my dick.
I just want to chop off your dick, man.
22 to hit the guy that tried to chop off my dick.
Hard one. I think this guy's a hot dog salesman.
I do want to sell your hot dog to hell.
14 damage to the dick slayer.
He's so hurt. It is I, dick slayer.
All right, now I'm coming for your dick.
Okay.
Yes. I hit him. 24. Yes.
Okay, cool. Wait, you beat a fucking 12, dude?
Yeah, dude. That's what's up. And 10 damage to him.
Super finish him.
Yes. Now I take his sword that he tried to chop off my dick with, and I chop off his dick.
Wow.
Yeah. It does not hurt that bad. Wow. I do not have any desire other than to chop off people's dicks and serve.
I put it on the end of the sword and I stick it in his mouth.
Oh, I have to eat my own dick? That sucks.
Bye-bye, baby.
He's gone. He dies. He chokes on his own dick and dies.
Hard one, that's punching down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I chop off my own dick in solidarity.
Hard one, Cannon doesn't have a dick. You heard it here first, guys.
Edit that out of the podcast.
Oh, wait. So, Hard one, I forgot that you were grappled that whole time, but that is not the same as restrained. That just means that your speed is zero.
Oh, I wasn't moving, right?
So you are literally
just chopping dicks.
You're stabbed by a harpoon, cutting off dicks and serving them up.
Awesome. Honestly, don't even try to get out of the harpoon.
Dick sashimi.
So on the harvester's turn, he cries those big goopy tears.
Fucking tears on you guys.
I love it. It's like one of those cool showers that feels like a waterfall.
You get... burning hot tar falls on your head.
Ooh, am I at the spa?
Good.
For 14 damage.
Ouch. I needed to exfoliate.
Do Bev and Moonshine.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. So he can use 2 harpoon arms. So then he's going to shoot a harpoon arm at Moonshine.
All right. Does he know that I have a fucking awesome AC?
16?
Does not hit.
Does not hit.
Try me, bitch. I'm a barbarian. I got hide of steel.
Moonshine, he tries to use his second harpoon arm to grab you.
I just want to stab you with this. I'm freaking sorry.
And then my body moves out of the way like a belly dancer, but horizontal.
Whoa, whoa. Horizontal belly dancing.
So pliable.
Hard one. Go ahead and make a wisdom saving throw.
What?
Not a problem. I'm very smart.
Wait, are you in Bev's aura?
Am I?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're so far away.
Does an 8 save?
It does not, believe it or not.
Oh.
Hard one. You, after cutting this dude's dick off and shoving the dick kebab in his mouth, turn around. You still have this dude's fucking harpoon arm in your shoulder, and he just looks at you with the saddest, big, disgusting, goopy eyes. You see this black goop so quickly travels down his harpoon arm and goes on your face and sizzles and burns you for 23 damage.
No, not your beard.
I'm sorry, but that also looks so badass. Yeah. Like, see if maybe
thank you. Fuck it, thanks.
I was talking to Hardwon, but
I heard it though.
I do pity you. You're just a sad skin tint.
Moonshine, that's your turn.
All right, let's go for it. Merciful murder.
Please kill him. I'm very hurt.
Oh no! Does a 13 hit? I already know it doesn't.
13 does not hit.
All right.
He
well,
grabs it between his big saggy gut skin. He uses it to catch your sword.
Oh.
I have so much skin.
All right, well, how about a little lotion for it, and then I hawk up some spores and oh. rub it in gently like Vic's vapor rub.
Thank you.
That hurts him for 12.
That is Bev's turn.
All right. Yeah, how's the harvester looking?
He was on death's door, then got healed up. He's still looking pretty hurt, but he'd need to have a real good turn to kill him.
He's on death's stoop.
He's on death's stoop.
Ooh.
He pulled up to death's door, and he's honking the horn, but he's not out of the car yet.
He's on a rocking chair in death's sunroom, but...
He's in the solar.
Yeah, the solarium.
How many acolytes are left?
9.
Okay, I'm going to start hacking at some of these axes. Okay.
Hack the axe!
Hack the axe.
All right. Yeah, I'm just going to try and cleave as many as I can. Let's do some damage. Mm-hmm. 16? Does that hit?
Super hits.
Yeah, cool. I think
I'm just wearing a robe.
Okay, that is 13 for that turn.
One is gone.
Cool.
You fully decapitate his head and then stick into the neck of the next one.
Ow, if I was a real person, I would be a sad.
You are a real person. You're valid.
Hey, thank you so much.
Now kill him.
I'm going to kill you.
Goodbye. that's a 20.
Okay, that super hits.
Let's do
you
some
hit
more.
Me, believe it or not.
My D8 with Destiny is saying 14.
14, Jesus.
D8
okay.
with Destiny.
It's nice. A little fun.
Ooh.
You fully kill another 2. You cut through the rest of that guy's head and then cut off the next guy's head. And now there are 6 left.
I pose.
Ooh,
that is a cool
I
pose.
Take notice of it.
They all chant,
that is a cool pose. We if are you, still going to heal.
Have you seen like the D.Va animation from Overwatch? That's kind of what I do.
We are now going to heal the harvester.
Good luck.
Dang, y'all still got spell slots?
We only have 3. This is the last time we can do this.
Good.
Thanks for letting
I
us
like
know.
I like the way you speak,
Thank
though.
You so much.
All in unison.
It sounds so cute.
Hey, what did y'all have for Thank dinner you. Last night?
Oh. We had meatloaf.
What did y'all have for breakfast this morning?
We had sausage and egg.
And lunch?
We had ham sandwiches.
What are y'all getting each other for Christmas?
Oh, don't make us say that. That needs to be a secret.
That's what I was trying to do.
They healed us. This dude's looking healthy again.
No!
Y'all are gonna die. Oh, this no. is hard one's turn.
Oh, they all owe each other a Coke, though.
I'm gonna try to swing my axe at the guy that has his harpoon handed me and is burning my face and killing me.
Yeah.
You can't move, dude.
Oh, I can't move?
No, you're far away from him.
Why?
Because you're fucking on the other side of the room attacking the spies.
Can he try and, like, sever the harpoon?
Yeah, you can use an action to get out of the grapple, or you can swing at an acolyte nearby.
I'm going to try to get out of the grapple then, I guess.
Okay, go ahead and make a check. Strength check.
Natural 20.
Oh!
You burst out. I'll let you...
Roll.
Yes,
roll
with, a nat, with a nat 20, you don't even need to use an action.
Do you want to get out of the grapple, or do you want to try and do a sick stand-up comedy routine right now?
Is this thing on? I get out of the grapple.
Okay. You burst out of the grapple so easily.
Wow, you're lost.
With a nat 20, I'll say you don't even need to use your action to do that.
So now I can make an attack on this guy?
Yes.
You should have laughed at my friend's stand-up routine.
It just wasn't that funny.
If you have notes, I'll take them.
I rolled a 4. I'm going to use my final luck point.
Okay.
Ooh.
Are you sure you have enough? Are you sure you have one?
I'm 90% sure I do.
Okay.
You know what? If I didn't have one?
Shout out at Jake Hurwitz on Twitter if he's cheating right now.
Feel free to at me. You know what? Let's just say ball don't lie. Dice don't lie. If I roll, if I hit, then I had one. And if I don't, then I didn't.
Sure.
And I did not.
Okay. Last luck point gone.
All right. So I'm going to make my second attack.
You whiff. He catches it with his neck skin.
Oh, my God. I rolled a 3. Oh. I really must be cheating.
You just flex and the harpoon falls out of your shoulder. You run forward, you swing your axe at him, he catches it in his neck skin.
Why did you swing at my neck?
Oh my gosh, he's like a basset hound.
You swing again and he catches it in his belly fat again, and then his neck skin falls in your mouth.
Oh God, now I know what it tastes like to eat skin. I feel bad for doing it to that other guy.
Okay, so that is his turn. On his turn, he cries these big goopy tears. Everyone takes 3d6 of damage. That is 12 to everyone. And then he is going to shoot his harpoon at hard one.
Well, I'm probably going to die here.
He super hits.
Well, now you're next to me so I can cure you.
Are you down?
Not yet.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
He does another 18 damage to you, hard one.
I am down.
So you guys see hard one is stabbed by this guy with a harpoon hand. It goes right through his abdomen, and you guys see this black gunk flowing down this guy's arm and going into Hard One's body. You see his skin is starting to pale, and his veins are, like, pulsating. And Hard One takes damage while he's unconscious and loses one death saving throw. So that's one fail automatically. That is
Moonshine's turn.
Moonshine's turn.
Get to
Well,
him.
You eyeless fuck, you set me up to do what I do best.
What?
Heal him and hurt him. So I'm going to heal Hard One for, 15.
Okay, Hard One goes back up to 15. Hard One, you are still harpooned. You felt like you were about to die, and suddenly you come back to life, and you are still harpooned and stuck to this man.
Oh, just let me die.
But you're at 15 HP, yeah.
And then I'm going to reaction, send my spores on this.
Okay.
On this, the Moonshine special.
The skin fuck. Cool. The skin taggy fuck.
They're not skin tags. It's just skin.
This is like the bad version of Balnor. It's just a big baggy idiot.
That is Bev's turn.
You big baggy idiot.
I'm not a baggy idiot.
You're just like a big Kroger bag. You suck.
You suck, man. Your friend almost fucking died.
No, I didn't.
You did, man. I felt you.
He looked fine to me.
I felt him almost die.
He jumped right back up.
You guys stopped joking around for a minute.
You're a bag of molding. You are.
Oh. Fucking attack me, dude. Right.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
I'm going to keep whacking these axes.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. Whack the axe. Whack
the axe. Whack the axe. Whack the axe.
The nuts whack the axe. All in unison.
Oh, they're so cute. What's your favorite song?
We all like Boy Problems by Carly Rae Jepsen.
That's a good jam.
Kind of a deep track on her second album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good cut.
We all like y'all? It.
None, all of us.
No one dissenting?
No one dissenting. We all work for hell.
No one secretly likes Matchbox 20 more?
I do. Shut up.
15 hits, right?
15 super hits.
Okay. Woo.
We are just wearing robes. I wonder what it'd like to be the rainmaker.
I like Rob Thomas.
Two of them speak in unison. It's 12 on the first hit.
One guy gone.
What are we down to?
You guys are down to 5.
Burgers and fries.
Barely a rack of axe.
It is hard not to hit these guys.
Uh-oh.
I challenge you not to hit him, Beverly.
What? 8 plus 4 is what? That's 11.
12. You hit.
Yeah, you okay. Still hit.
Woo, great.
We are not good.
Tiny robes.
We have tiny robes.
Oh, that's not great. That's going to be 8 damage.
8 damage. You kill the guy that you've already hurt, and you do 3 damage to the next guy. So there are 4 guys left.
We got less boy problems now.
That is their turn. So they're just going to have to attack Bev.
Mm-hmm.
They're not good at fighting. They pull out little daggers.
These robes was
this
made for
this is not
healing.
The way we are here. We only have 3 spell slots.
Wait, have they used all their spell slots?
They did.
Okay. Did. They all just jab. There's 4 guys try to stab you, Beverly, and you just, like, stand there, and the armor absorbs it.
We are not good at the fighting.
Just try to hit this ass. It's invisible.
That is your turn, hard one.
Cool. I'm going to try to kill the weepy guy.
Cool.
Don't kill me, man.
Nat 20. Yeah.
Ooh,
wow. Yeah.
That's yes. Gonna feel good.
Oh, God, it does.
I almost killed you, dude.
Dang, that's your second crit. That's your third fucking crit.
I've been critting a lot, man.
Woo.
20 damage.
20 damage. He is quite hurt, but not on death's door yet.
I will take my second attack.
Go for it. He got healed for a lot a couple times.
26 to hit.
I'm coming for
that. Hits.
It hits my baggy skin, man. You ripped open some of my skin sacks.
13 damage.
13 damage. Okay, he is still alive.
Fuck. This guy looks like all of the...
He looks bad now.
We cannot heal him anymore. We suck so much, goddamn
ass. You're done. We're going to shove you back under the kitchen sink with all the other bags.
I'm going to continue trying to stab you with a butter knife.
Just keep banging off your armor, Beverly.
We are
plink,
trying.
Plink, plink.
We are trying our best.
So Hard One is still stabbed.
I like
stabbed.
That so much. They're reminding me of in Toy Story, all those little aliens.
That's what they're like.
That's what I'm picturing them as this whole time.
He cries big goopy tears on all three of you. 4-7 damage.
It's dark goopies.
My dark tar tears.
And then he is going to shoot his second harpoon arm at you, Moonshine.
All right.
And he's going to hit.
What? No, he's not. I don't think he is. Does he know what my AC is?
He got a 24.
I don't know if he's going to hit.
17 damage, Moonshine.
Still standing.
Okay. He stabs you, though. You are also caught. You guys are both, like, on his arms. And he does this,
fucking hate my life, man.
This black tar goes through his arms. Moonshine and Hardwin, give me wisdom saving throws.
19.
10.
10 does not save Moonshine, but Hardwin, you take half damage. 16 damage.
I'm still standing.
Moonshine's still standing. Hard One, you take half.
Oh, shit. 8. Then I'm good.
You're good. Woo. Okay. Hard One barely hanging on. That is Moonshine's turn.
All right. I got 1 hit point. Just going to...
Oh, my God. Really?
Cards on the table.
Jesus. He rolled so bad on his tier damage.
So I'm just planning on critting. Okay.
And...
Does an 18 hit?
It does.
Yeah, yes.
My skin sacks aren't that thick.
I'll take it.
It's just skin.
16 damage.
Finish him.
Yes!
Woo! Okay, whoo! With all of my 1 hit point, I want to cradle him in my arms and say, think of the happiest moment of your life.
It was when for a brief second I was a nude, sexless human who was being harvested to be one of Akarot's hollow bodies. And I thought that maybe I would get to be used by Akarot, but instead it didn't work, and now I'm a monster.
All right, that's too sad. I decapitate him.
Tomorrow's another day. He's gone.
The best moment of your life is almost being a devil's toy.
He just melts into a sack of skin and black ooze. And that is your turn, Bev. You've got,
oh, we got the acolytes
4
left?
Of these acolytes left.
I was going to give him a motivational calendar.
I do not need motivation.
I
work for hell.
Do you want me to kill you, or do you want to give up and tell us some information?
Fuck you. We work for hell.
All right. Beverly
You're
Tornado.
That's what I'm spinning.
Go ahead and swing.
Okay, that's 19.
That Ooh. Super hits.
All right, let's see if I can get them all in one go.
Come on, baby.
Nope, that's a 1.
Plus what, though?
8. Or plus 7, so 8.
Okay. You fully kill the one that you had already hurt.
Alrighty.
So there are 3 left, and you do 1 damage to the next guy.
Let's see here. Okay, that's 25.
That hits.
Okay.
We only have 10 AC.
Yeah, I'm just rubbing it in.
Yes, it is very hard to not kill us.
That's 11? Yeah.
That kills one of us and hurts the other one a little bit. There are 2 left, and they stab at you with butter knives. We are dedicated to the cause.
Can we say that the handle of the butter knives has, like, pretty flowers on it?
One guy crit.
Wow.
And 1 guy missed.
Critting with a butter knife.
He stabs you with a butter knife for 14 damage, Beverly. Shit.
Straight up, what did you hope to learn about here?
That's your turn, Hard One.
That was the guy that liked Matchbox 20, right?
Yeah.
I still enjoy it's Rob Thomas.
The 2 people who liked Rob Thomas are still standing.
I like him when he's with Santana the most.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Rob. He likes Santana.
Under the moon. It's 21.
21 hits.
Same as the emotion that I get from 18 damage.
They're both gone. Finish them.
You got that real love. What is it? Make me forget about it. And I chop them in half.
You chop both of them in half. You guys have cleared out this entire disgusting room. Whew. There is no more chanting, just Joris screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this, like, one ashy, fucked up eye. What happened to me? What happened to me?
Does it look like when Thor lost his eye?
Oh.
Yes.
In Ragnarok?
Sweet. Yes, it does.
I rush over to it and I lay hands.
I know it hurts right now, but it's going to look awesome.
I kinda, might come back in the next movie.
I stick my my finger in my mouth and get it real wet, and then I just kind of, like, run it around the room.
Jeez. Okay, go ahead and give me a religion check.
Okay. 10.
Okay.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Bev, you stick
your... Can I roll my religion to help his religion?
Sure.
That's a nat 20, baby.
Oh, there you go.
Nat 20. Okay.
Back me up.
So, Bev...
Gotta get the nips out. Start tweaking. Bev, tune in to Melora.
Cover Joris's other eye.
Yeah. So, you see this kid is kind of in shock, and he's trying to, you know, just out of pure instinct, grab at his eye, but his hands are chained, and he's kind of splayed there. And, Bev, you go over, and you're trying to lay hands on him, and you're kind of scrambling and going to grab at your amulet. And Moonshine comes over, and she's kind of a calming presence, and she puts her hand on your shoulder. You guys both, like, kind of... meet on this wavelength as Bev, you lay hands this kid. You see that his skin was turning pale and there were like these veins pulsating through him, like this poison was going through his body, and you do not heal his eye hole or anything, but you see he calms down and he goes, It does not hurt anymore, just gone. My eye is gone.
You're gonna be okay.
I'm telling you, a lot of fucking awesome people are missing an eye.
You suddenly see the red eye of Akarat appear in his one eye.
All right.
What is that? That feels weird in my eye.
Kid, I'm going to say some stuff, but I'm not talking to you. You motherfucker. Are you spying on us?
I cover his eye hole with the amulet.
Ooh.
Ow, that hurts! God damn it!
Sorry,
fuck.
this is hurting the devil more than it's hurting you.
Go ahead and roll a religion check.
Okay.
You're giving him like an exorcism, essentially.
Okay, I'm gonna help. I'm gonna try and help.
Okay. Oh, damn it.
That's going to be
16.
Oh, 12.
12. Okay. You guys hold him down. You put the amulet to his eye. You see Joris is screaming.
Pelor takes you to Flavortown. Pelor takes you to Flavortown.
Melor is indifferent.
I like to think when our gods work in tandem, it's like them doing like a 50-plus-year-old dance at a wedding together. They're kind of like really grooving and freaking.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when mom is in the kitchen preparing dinner and then like dad comes in and kind of like dances where they're behind her. And, like, winks
and
at the
kids.
She,
like, acts like she doesn't like it, but she does.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys had a happy childhood.
So you see his eye is still, like, blackened and fucked up, but you do see that Akarat's eye retreats.
Cool.
Let's get this fucker an eye patch.
Praise be Melora's indifference. Yeah, let's get you a real good eye patch.
That would be good.
Who are you?
Do you work... for the boss? Who do you work for?
I bite a piece of my polar bear, my Cyclops polar bear pelt off and fashion him a little eye patch.
Cool.
That's great.
A furry white eye patch. Dope.
Dope. You give him a furry white eye patch over his one eye. He's still chained to these posts.
Oh, did you buy...
I'll swing my axe at the chains.
Cool. Also, you guys are out of combat. You swing down on these chains. You break them.
We're here from your sister. Hey. Katya sent us.
Yeah.
You know Katya.
We do.
Yeah, we stopped by the dwarfenage.
She still cares about you. It's not too late.
What was the errand you ran? And please, we will not attack you no matter what you say.
Hard one's gripping his axe really tight.
Whatever you say is okay. We honestly just want to know the truth. You can say that you killed someone and it all's forgiven. Or you can say you just went and, you know, helped by a dagger and also all's forgiven.
You see, he looks down and he goes,
I did what I had to do. The other kids were too scared, but...
I understand.
I snuck down into the crypts and I was caught by the boss. And he said that he respected my courage and he could use someone like me. And so he hired me to do a job.
That's tempting.
What was the fucking job?
The job was to track two nobles, Gemma Bronzebeard and Gerard Coldane. So I gathered information on them, and I tracked them. I'm good at hiding, and generally everyone, you know, pretends not to see Dwarfin so I could blend in easy.
I think that's the truth.
I reported my findings back to the boss, and then a few days later he offered me another job to dress up as a venerable servant and to go to the wedding welcome party. And I went to the party, and I found Gemma Bronzebeard again, and I was supposed to wait for a moment where she was alone or away from the crowds, and then I was to go to the kitchen and let in a cloaked dwarf in the back door. And that was my job.
What'd that dwarf look like?
He had the same face as the boss.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that face look like?
He's kind of...
pale, handsome, a little too handsome?
Handsome in a gentle way, not in a dwarf way. It looks weird when he's on the
dwarf's
face.
You want to trust him,
even
though...
It's crazy that he went on an assassin mission, dressed as himself, and not borrowing another hollow body.
The hollow body, that's how the hollow bodies work. Mm. It's always his face in the hollow body.
Yes, I see.
Joris, who ordered the hit?
Well, first, the boss is going to kill us, right?
We're your new boss now, Joris.
Yeah.
You let us worry about that. We're the best chance you've got of getting out of here.
Yeah.
I don't...
We already paid...
Just kill me. Life is so bad.
No. All right, Joris. All right. The dwarfenage just received an anonymous donation that was quite handsome. And I think it could be an accommodating place to ride this out.
I didn't want to do what I did. I'm not stupid.
I know you didn't. You're just a young kid.
I know what happens. I know why people ask for people to be tracked.
We're not blaming you. We know it's hard out there. We've
Although, if you blame yourself, this may be a good opportunity for some self-reflection, so I'm not going to stand in the way of that. But I'm showing you forgiveness.
Tell you what, Joris, the that noble that you tracked, Gemma, that was pretty much my girlfriend.
I did this for 1,000 gold that I could give to the dwarfinage. Dwarfins die all the time and no one cares. People die to save kings, die to save queens, die for princes and princesses, but no one cares if dwarfin freezes or dwarfin starves. No one cares.
Hey, I care. I'm a dwarfin just like you.
I know exactly what you and your kin need. Y'all need to go join the Cricks. Bunch of rowdy youngins. Y'all will fit in.
Where's, how do we, I've heard of this Crick. Where is the Crick?
Hey, Hardwell, we got space on your airship for all the dwarfins.
I grabbed Joris by the nape of the neck. Tell you what, dude. You helped kill the only person I love.
Right, I'm sorry.
You can kill me if you want. My life sucks so much ass.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of you, but I made a promise to your sister that I wasn't going to let anything happen to you. So nothing's going to happen to you. And you know what, Moonshine? And Bev, as the two new people that I actually love.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
That's not a bad idea. There's room on the SS Stormborn. For a bunch of dwarfins. Hey, Joris, how are you at Ketchum?
Ketchum? It has been a long time since
I start chasing Joris.
His like legs are tired from being chained. Oh. I did not want to play.
That's why I'm gonna get caught, Joris. Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Yes. All right, I'll fireman carry him over my shoulder.
Okay. All right.
Also, is now like a moment? Does it feel like a moment that I could perhaps trance?
If
get
you
a little me time with Melora in.
If you would like to take a short rest, you can try and see what happens.
Short rest in the crypt where the devil was living seems like it might be dangerous.
Onwards and upwards, fellas.
Why don't we go? We should go and meet Balnor at this tavern.
Yeah.
And we can hopefully rest.
Also, there's a chance that if Joris was tracking Gemma, Joris also knows where Cauldane is as well.
Yeah.
So good person to have on our side.
Yeah, I am at 1 hit point.
I don't think Cauldane is okay.
Where do you think that he got murdered? On a hunt?
Yes, I think he was killed out in the tundra.
Do you think he was killed by the Winter Wolves, or do you think that Akarok?
No. I did not see the face of the man who ordered the hit, but I heard him one time. I was down here for a meeting with the boss.
Oh, it wasn't Akarot who ordered the hit?
Akarot worked for the order, but somebody...
I know, but we had this theory that he was trying to impress his dad. Oh, yeah. Okay, go on, young Joris.
Somebody came down, and so I hid, and I listened near the door. And there was a man here. I heard the man yelling. And he was angry, and he said, "I wanted him dead. I didn't know he would have the hammer. Now it's lost." And the boss said, "You give me gems, and I offered to take 2 lives in exchange. The fate of the hammer was not a part of it." You know, he has that deep voice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was talking like that. He said the hammer was not a part of it. And then the other guy was very mad. He was yelling at him. But the boss said, "Do you still want me to go through with it and take the second life?" And the guy said, "Yes, I'll find the hammer myself. But even if I get my hands on it, I still need to do this the right way." That is all I remember. And then they started talking quietly, and the man calmed down, and I couldn't hear. And some of the acolytes came by, and I had to rush off.
So... we know that Akarot needed the gems to capture Ulfgar. I imagine that's the gems he's talking about.
Does Ulfgar have the hammer? What is the hammer?
I think that Gerard Cauldane took the hammer hunting.
Yeah.
So the hammer is lost somewhere beyond the wall.
The hammer's in the tundra.
Yeah.
Y'all, looks like we gotta cash in that giant coin, make some friends up there, right?
Something ain't fundra in the tundra.
Something's a sundra in the tundra.
Nice.
It's very good.
That's very good.
Could you guys kill me?
No way, dude.
No, I promised your sister I wouldn't. We're Let's case this
room.
How
about this? We'll drop you off at the orphanage, and that's sort of like a life sentence in itself, right?
Yes. I kind of agreed to do this job because I knew that the gold would just go to the orphanage, and I would not have to live with myself because I would be inducted and I would just become zombies. So you have saved me. Please chop my head off.
Do you have the gold, by the way?
The gold will be delivered to the orphanage.
You should be there to enjoy that bounty with your sister.
Although, is him being there going to compromise the orphanage?
We have a safe room.
Yeah, let's
at the
take
tavern.
Him to the safe room. Let's just lock him in an inn.
Yeah.
I think we should take him back to the orphanage and just tell him to hide. Tell him to pack up all of those kids. Tell him to get everybody to pack a bag.
Yeah.
We go and deal with Jaina,
yeah.
Balnor, and then we come back for the kids afterwards.
Joris, are you worried that the orphanage won't be safe if you're there?
You see Joris... with his one good eye, looks out into the room, sees all the guys that you've killed. He goes,
I don't know how many more guys the boss has here. This used to be a thieves' guild that hid out down here.
Cool.
And they would sometimes give petty jobs for dwarfins to do for a little bit of money. And then the boss showed up, and the boss took over. And suddenly... money started coming in more.
Joris, do you want to be in charge of the Thieves Guild?
Yeah, Joris, what if we left you here to reinstate the Thieves Guild?
That would be pretty fucking dope,
That's
honestly.
Pretty badass, right?
Yeah,
That's...
you should do that. I'll be honest, I met a lot of people in Frostwind that have more money than they deserve.
I do have a fucking cool-ass eye patch now.
Yeah, do you want to redistribute the wealth a little bit, bud?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to kill these fucking bootlickers.
No. Don't kill.
No murder.
Just steal.
Yeah, Robin Hood style, maybe.
Just steal. Okay.
Yeah.
I will consider this. Please carry me home. I am so hurt.
Okay. Yes. Well, we've turned you around on wanting to die, so that feels like a
victory. Yeah, it feels good. Put that on the win column.
I no longer want to die. I just want to be a good criminal.
He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die.
Cool. So in this room, it's just a ton of bodies strewn about and candles and this one symbol that, Bev, you recognize as being the same symbol as your coin, but your party doesn't know that you have that.
Mm. I turn it around in my pocket a few times.
Beverly, come to me.
Akarat, is that you?
That's me.
Where are you now?
My son.
Beverly, whispering to the wall.
What?
Yeah, Bev, oh. What's going on?
No, I was rehearsing lines.
All right, let's drop this.
For a play I'm doing later?
Let's drop this Cyclops dwarf back at his dwarfinage.
Sounds good.
So you guys go back out through the double doors. And as you walk out, you see that you guys have pretty much fucking cleaned house here. But at the other end of the hall, you see this faceless, nude dwarf, completely devoid, just smooth downstairs, just devoid of nipples and private parts, hobble out of a room at the far end of the hallway near where you guys entered.
Oh, shit. Is that like a hollow body factory?
And it walks on shaky legs, almost bow-legged, down the hall towards you.
It's
you
a baby see, hollow body.
You guys see Akarat's face forms there, and he goes,
do I scare you when I'm like this?
Put on a pair of pants or
I
something.
Do you attack him?
Yeah, why wouldn't we?
Okay. So Moonshine rushes up and swings her sword at him.
I got a 26.
Yeah, that hits this nude Akarat.
19.
You slash him in half. He's gone.
Oh.
Okay, that was weird. Are there any more of those things around?
I guess, it seems like it's a sort of hollow body hatching facility.
Yeah, was there like a, where did that thing come from?
So he came from the end of the hall where you guys had seen the acolytes come out of when you guys were entering.
Cool. I get my amulet out and I start whipping it around on its chain.
Okay.
Kind of making it whistle a little bit.
And are you guys going down to that room?
Should we?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, let's sneak down there.
Cool. So you guys sneak down to this room. You guys see that there are these, like, there are runes all over the ground. There's like, the D&D equivalent of, like, pentagrams and graffiti everywhere. Just these signs of Akarat all over the place.
Ugh.
And, like, melted candles everywhere. And all these, like, half bodies on the ground. And you see another void-faced, hollowed guy. Suddenly, Akarat's face appears on it again.
Ugh. Oh, hello.
Hi.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, I guess so. What are you doing here?
this body is a failure. It's really no danger to you. I can't even stand up with this one.
And you see he's just gyrating his hips into the sky.
I try kicking the crotch to see what happens.
That doesn't even hurt me.
Wow. He's not lying, guys. Listen. Leave these dwarfins alone. Quit exploiting them. You can offer deals to us, but not them, all right?
Yeah, we're turning...
They're under our protection now.
We're returning this place to an honorable thieves' den.
That's what these bodies are. The members of this thieves' guild. None of them were strong enough to become a hollow body, except for the guild master, who I used to... And he looks at you, Hardwon.
Throw the knife.
Oh, oh, oh.
I threw the knife.
Oh, you threw the knife.
I threw the knife.
That's really great for you.
Are you making fun of my voice?
You son of a bitch. I chopped that guy's head off.
I'm not even going to make you roll. You fully chop off this dude's head, and then another face appears on another one of them. This one is just a torso, like, hanging on the wall.
Why'd you throw the knife?
Because I was ordered to. I made a deal. I needed those gems to get Ulfgar. Ulfgar belongs to me.
No, Ulfgar belongs to me. I chopped that one's head off too.
Head's gone. I'm gonna say there are four left.
Great.
Okay, we got a couple of spares left, so get your anger out now.
Joris, you wanna punch one?
I would like to punch one.
I give Joris my axe in case he says anything.
Joris goes over and cuts another one. There's three left now.
All right, Joris, a little trigger happy. I said in case he said anything.
Do you want me to kill another one?
Wait, Joris, I got a better idea. I make one look like it's humping another one.
Oh, so funny, dude.
Thanks, man. I guess we wait for the head to reappear.
Another.
Who ordered you to kill Gemma?
Join the order and I'll tell you.
That ship has sailed.
If you're not going to join the Order, then I will just have to take Ulfgar back from you with my prime body.
Yeah? Does your prime body have a dick? Because these ones are not very impressive.
Just because I'm a writhing little body on the ground right now does not mean I fail today.
Sounds like something you really have to tell yourself to.
Is it?
Yeah, be able to fall asleep at night. Also sounds like something that you put in an Instagram picture.
Can I
like a quote that you write into
a
picture?
Can I try to pray to his dad to tell him that he failed?
Go ahead, pray to my dad. See if I care, dude.
Hey, Pelor, can you patch me through to Ilsed?
Ooh, I'm going to do the same. Melora, same.
I rolled a one, but I'm going to reroll that. That's just an 11.
I got a 16.
Go ahead and give me wisdom saving throws.
Oh,
you shouldn't have tried to talk to Ilsed.
That's going to be 16 plus 4,
okay,
so 20.
26.
26 and 20. You guys are like joking around, pretending to pray to the devil, and you're like, Melora, patch me through to Ilsed, and you just hear a voice in your head, I'm in. And you guys like quickly
Oh, God.
Push it out of your minds.
You have a very beautiful son.
He's so powerful. My dad. My dad is going to kill you guys.
It's weird. When I talked to him, I was like, I'm with your son. And he was like, who?
He didn't say that. You lie. You're lying to me.
Yeah, I was also patched through to him, and he said you were a tiny little bitch boy.
He didn't say that.
He was with a beautiful woman trying to conceive another son.
What? You wouldn't do that. He has one beautiful boy.
He didn't
boy.
Say another son. He said a first son.
What?
First son.
No.
A son for
he
once, for
say
finally.
That.
Yeah, it's weird. I saw a family portrait, but like one of the, like a little baby's face was just like, scratched.
It was a family portrait, and it was just your dad.
All of your blood across the snow.
He said he didn't love your mom anymore.
Yes. I heard him on the phone saying he wanted to join the PTA, but he had no children.
Oh, real funny, guys. This is real freaking funny. You guys just wait till you meet my prime body. When you meet my prime body,
yeah,
you
are screaming
me.
At us, and you were a tiny little naked.
Yeah,
you're also talking up that prime body a lot. This prime body had better have at least two
tails. It's freaking jacked. I'm freaking
Does
jacked,
it have a tail?
IRL.
Does
I'm
it
jacked,
have a tail?
IRL. Does it have a tail?
Does it have a barbed tail?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sounds like you just decided that.
Go ahead and do an insight check. See if you believe that he has a tail. He rolled a 5.
I got a 15.
You fully don't believe that he has a tail.
Yeah, right. You got a tail. You got as much of a tail as I do.
I don't need a freaking tail. Tails are dumb.
You probably just got a big old butt nub.
You guys might have Ulfgar right now, but it doesn't matter because you guys need the King's Hammer to get him out. So you'll seek out the King's Hammer, and when you find it, guess what? I know where it freaking is, and I'll be there waiting for you.
I kick it in its nude butt. just to knock it. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, can I slap him across the face? Just to knock the Akarot out of him?
You slap him across the face. You see the Akarot face shifts. You kick him in the butt. You see his whole body twitches. You break several bones, and you just twist it on the ground, just gyrating.
Sorry about that. You were in the middle of threatening us. What was it that you wanted to say?
Is Akarot still in there? I just want to kick the Akarot out of him.
You know, this isn't the only way to control bodies. The giants are angry, and they have the hammer. And when they get to that crack in the realm, they will use the hammer to shatter it, and then there will be chaos, and we will bring order.
And that's where we'll end our episode.
No! I hate order!
I love order. I love chaos and then order.
We like chaos. You know, this guy's like just a side of chaos.
This guy's just bad glad. Gabad. Gabad mixed with Adam Driver.
Dark Adam Driver.
And a fucking mound.
Guys, if you want to hear us chat about this epi, go over to the Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD.
We
don't sing yet.
But I do want to promise on this short rest that I will be trying to come up with a pun name for the studio, because the boy cave, the tudio.
Tudio's pretty solid.
And the nad hole. Like, you guys, all three of you brought it, and I haven't done shit. But listen to the short rest, and I will bring down the house with my pun.
Oh, yes. My God, I can't wait.
I've got no idea what it is.
We'll have a fourth studio.
It's just
going
to be a 45-minute episode where Jake is entirely silent and then just chimes in.
Recording it, time, place.
He's like, galage.
Galage.
The galage.
That's pretty good.
That actually is.
M's got two pretty
good. Now relax with it, okay?
Because relax.
I feel like I could have gotten there.
For the rest of us.
The California Crick. Oh, that's good, too.
Knock it off.
Guys, check out Dropout. You can check out the streaming service. Caldwell's got Cartoon Hell on there with Nathan Yaffe.
Ooh, special guest Akarot next week.
Special guest Akarot. Jake and Amir have Lonely and Horny, of course. Emily and I have Fantasy High.
Fantasy High.
Which is a D&D.
Big and Riz for the win.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough.
A D&D play show.
You talk about other D&D campaigns I'm not on.
What is the promo code?
Signup.dropout.tv/nadpod. NADDPOD.
Nice. Is there any? don't sing yet again.
There's one more thing to plug.
Oh, yes.
Hot Date on Netflix, baby.
Yes. Check out me and Emily's sketch show on Netflix called Hot Date and buy
our book. It's really different, but there's also some NADpod. Even though we wrote it and filmed it before we did NADpod, there's some, you know,
NADpod
genesis, maybe. Flavor in
perhaps.
There.
My wife wrote for that show.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Susanna.
Support me.
Yeah.
Caldwell, you have anything else to plug?
I do. This Saturday, November 3rd, I believe, you can watch Big City Greens at 8 a.m. on Disney Channel. Wake up nice and early and check it out. John Hamm guest stars in our Thanksgiving Black Friday episode.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
And of course, follow us on Twitter at chmurf is me, at Caldy is Caldwell, at eaxford is Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz is Jake. You know what? What is the address for our P.O. box? Because we need stuff for our studio.
Yeah.
It is 1920 Hellhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. I want to very quickly give shout-outs to David, who sent us a pair of very funny socks that Emily is wearing right now.
I'm wearing them right now.
Gavin, who sent us a DVD of the animated series of Dungeons & Dragons, which
we're watching it right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, look forward to that on a mixed bag in the future. Absolutely, for sure. Leanne, who sent us some cool dragon egg clay cups.
For real, I am drinking whiskey out of one right now.
Yeah, it warms your whiskey, which is, you know, bad for the whiskey, but cool. And then Laura at Ace Plus Crafts sent us some keychains, some pins, and a Band of Boobs pennant, which is hanging above the bathroom door.
Yes.
We're going to take photos of all this and put it on the NADpod Instagram, right?
But do check out at Ace Plus Crafts, because I believe that Laura makes cool stuff like that. So get at them if you want some cool stuff.
Very cool.
Yes, yeah. We have a shelf of pawpaws right now in the bookcase.
Yeah.
We have three big old pawpaws.
Mm-hmm. We got pawpaws. We got a nanorfly cross stitch.
Send us more pawpaws so that they can, you know, mate and make more pawpaws.
Yes.
Oh, that's my dream, that I open up this door in the morning and there's more pawpaws than there was last night.
Just the house is infested with pawpaws.
I can't wait until there's too many pawpaws for us to fit in the room. Until we can soundproof the room with pawpaws.
Oh, Melora, I just realized I didn't even mention pawpaw this entire episode. Well,
pawpaw's
I hate
gone.
It when I do that.
Pawpaw's with Balnor.
Oh, thank God.
He might be freaking captured. You don't know.
Oh, no.
Oh,
we got to get back to that.
We got to get back.
You guys
reunite
don't know.
Reunite me with my son.
And tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
Here we go.
We are the youth of the nation. We are
the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everybody, and that means we need to shout out our benevolent council of elders. It's just me this week, but I'm bringing the energy and enthusiasm and the sadness. Starting with Matthew M., the Bullywug Prince. Somewhere in Bahumia lurks a dark coven of Nullywugs. They are foul toads who don't brush their teeth, have terrible gingivitis, and are Matthew's sworn enemy. Brad D., the only Pebble Pot that isn't craven. Every year at Pebble Pot Thanksgiving, Brad never gets any food because he's too busy cutting everyone's meat so that they don't choke. Jay Loma, 72, aka Steelbreaker, Hard One's Gymspiration. Steelbreaker hasn't had a slider in over 9 months because they don't do cheat days, they do cheat years. Andrew A, aka Feldspar Lygard and the Half Elf. Andrew is half elf, half caffeine, two pumps of caramel, and just a dash of cinnamon. Next time you go to Starbucks, ask for the Feldspar, it's delicious. Taylor Papa, the Sixth, a legendary bard to whom no item isn't an instrument, once played a reanimated skeleton like a xylophone. That sound was so beautiful, the skeleton stopped attacking, grew organs and skin, then left to join the Peace Corps. Dylan B., a super weak wizard who wields 12 swords. He is so bad at actually wielding these swords that he accidentally invented blade singing, which is a D&D subclass where you do badass sword tricks. Way to go, Dylan B. Just be sure no one else is around while you're practicing. Simon W., the bootleg of Hard One, Soft Loss. Soft Loss actually dated Gemma after she and Hard One broke up. It also didn't work out, but Gemma did introduce Soft Loss to his new fiancée, Emma Stone. Congrats, Soft Loss. I'm sure you two will be very happy. Danny P., Bahumia's resident artist, painted Hard One's senior portrait at the Dwarfinage. All the other Dwarfins just got their photos taken, so Hard One's fully nude, double-page portrait spread really stuck out. Tom P., Father of the Realm, the serenader of sleeping babies and kisser of boo-boos. Unlike Touch Hands, Tom P.'s boo-boo smooch fully heals you and can be used as many times as he wants. Spencer Caskbrew, patron elder of libations, ale maker to gods and heroes of Bahumia alike, made a farmhouse saison that was so freaking tart it made even Pelor's mighty lips pucker. Pedro E., Bard of the Mountains. Bards travel from across the land to seek Pedro's tutelage, which is weird because, like, he's got a YouTube channel. Griffin S.D., a.k.a. The Stranger, the Silver Dragonborn Eldritch Knight and owner of the Badger's Pint Inn and Tavern. Update on the Badger v. Stranger case. Unfortunately, the court ruled against Griffin, and they had to change the name of their bar to the Booger's Pint Hotel and Lounge. That Badger will pay. Beardman Dan, the longest beard in Bahumia. Dan's beard is so big that he could cut it and make hair sweaters for everyone in Bahumia. He doesn't, though, because that went over super poorly when he did it for his family last Christmas. Scott D., a dwarf teen who loves doing BMX stunts. Unfortunately, their legs are too short to reach the pedals, so they had to settle for big wheel stunts. It might sound lame, but they once jumped over 12 anti-paladins at once. Even Akarot was impressed. Aaron C., one of the winter wolves that went hunting with Prince Coldain, definitely wasn't taking a whiz and checking their speaking stone while any sort of ambush was happening. Nope, definitely not Aaron C. Hermes W., the Bat King. Sometimes Hermes misses the simpler days when they were but a bat prince and could waste their nights eating bugs and shrieking at rocks to see where they are in the dark, but alas, those days have passed. T. Alex, Akarot's hollow body used exclusively for date nights, if you know what I mean. Ha ha, awooga. Parker E., the Bahumian sorting hat, currently not affiliated with any school of wizardry, but if you put them on, they'll tell you
exactly what you're going to eat for dinner in exactly 2 years. RJW, like Joris, also has one smoky Akarot eye. Got it on purpose because RJ is super goth and wanted to impress their co-workers at Hot Topic. Spartus, the assassin guildmaster who provided the body for Akarot. Unknown to Akarot, Spartus actually gave themselves up willingly because they were looking for a change and thought working for Hell might be just the spark they need. Adam Rust, the rustiest armor in all of Bohemia. Only the rustiest scavengers of the Crick even compare, and even Uncle Red, a rat man who sleeps at a shipyard, suggested Adam's armor could use a buff. Brent B, Tantalana's magic, not wizard magic though, the magic of being polite. Just saying hi to somebody could make their day. Cassandra, MHP, has so much HP that they were harpooned by the harvester beast in their sleep and didn't even notice until morning. Danielle, the dastardly dame. Danielle is so dastardly that she stole the money Joris earned for the dwarfenage and gave it to some rich kids, sort of a reverse Robin Hood. Hugh C, aka Haldor Frostback, MVP of the Giant Wars, crewed on the SS Stormborn and fought alongside Elias in Red, is currently retired and living in the tundra with nothing but a sleeping bag and a flag and a veil. Now that's a thick hide. Manny the mundane, accidental deity who got in the way of a lich's spell to reach divinity. When you reach into your bag of trail mix and get a nice ratio of M&Ms, that's Manny smiling down at you. Daniel Yu, aka Multifor, has the power to clone themselves. Usually just uses it to get chores done faster, but boy, do those dishes get washed. Jordan DJ, legendary DJ of the realm, is also a capable warrior who throws records Kung Lao style. Jeffrey S., Lord of the Fjord, born of the sword, whose hair was shorn. That's right, Jeffrey is bald and jacked and frequently mistaken for The Rock. Cutter W., a high elf dandy turned Crick barkitect. Business has been down since everyone left the Crick. It's pretty much just Cutter walking around trying to sell houses to nanorflies and chippermunks. Read the market, Cutter. You gotta move, buddy. Lex S., the escape artist, the only person to ever escape the Cold Iron Keep dungeon. It was a great blow to the Frost Dwarf's pride, so now they just execute everyone instead. John S., aka Schubert the Mushroom, is actually a distant cousin of Toad from Mario Kart, believe it or not. Ryan M., the greatest tournament fighter in Bohemia, once knocked Ulfgar off of his horse during a joust. Ulfgar did kick his ass at the bar later, though. Elena C., the reason that Scoutmaster Denny is so craven, gave him a wedgie so fierce in middle school that Denny began to fear everyone. Andrew M., a Frostwind hot dog vendor who is secretly selling demon dicks to their customers, Sweeney Todd style. Ricky, aka Tricky Ricky of the Cricky, had to stay behind when the rest of the Crick elves left the Crick, otherwise their nickname wouldn't make sense. Andrew R., a dwarf with gigantism, is indistinguishable from a buff human, but Andrew is pretty self-conscious about it. Cannibalistic Cthulhu, a gnome cannibal who eats other gnomes. The band of boobs consider this a heroic act. Michael McD, head mixologist at the Blue Mana Inn, a bartender so dedicated to his craft that even his virgin daiquiris are very, very alcoholic. Victor T, Balnor's boy whose loving dad was ripped from his family and transported to another world. The one solace his boy has is that he knows his dad isn't around to see the crumbling of the Ottoman Empire. Henry A, inhabited the super sad hell demon body for just a minute to see if he could hold back the tears. You know what? He could. Lance W. wears not just one, but two badass eye patches. He looks twice as cool as Joris, and he still has both of his eyes. Justin I. invented the Eye Stone, a new smart speaking stone that all of Bohemia is using to take photos of their vacations in the Feywild. Caleb was stuck on a deserted island in the middle of the ocean with no hope of survival when suddenly a magnificent hell dolphin fell from the sky and he was able to ride its dorsal fin back home. Clayton M., a claymation Dalmatian, super into thrifting lately, and is making some great finds at Salvation. TJM, an orc personal trainer Beverly Togold enlisted to try to plump his rump. No matter how many squats Bev did, though, he couldn't get his ass cheeks thicker than a Pop-Tart. The professional, the only lawyer to ever successfully beat Papa in litigation. Someone carved Mo into his car after the trial, and he has a sneaking suspicion who it is. Jacob C., pantsed Ruskak when he emerged half-killed from the crypt. Now he's the new dwarfin leader. Elena M. Eats every meal with a fork and a sword. It's very intimidating, but very impractical. She's ruined countless dishes. Gone Off. When Gone Off was in college, they did the first ever crick stand. They stood upside down over a vat of crick water and huffed as people chanted their name. It was epic, but they lost a lot of brain cells. McPucks, the codemaster who created our amazing website, he also once hacked Galad's scrying sword and saw him dry humping his pillow as he whispered, "Oh, Rosaline." Earl and Kathleen L., a loving dwarven couple who almost adopted a hard one till they saw that his quads were so abnormally large that they knew he'd never fit in their low-ceilinged dwarven house. Dylan M., a half-elf peddler of smut, he makes a Chaos and Order magazine that Akarat routinely beats it to. Jibe G., not that she'll ever open it, but Jibe got Gemma a really tasteful wedding gift. It's pointless to talk about now, though, since she was unceremoniously murdered by Brian Murphy, but it was a candle that smelled like her hometown, but she's dead now. Jake wrote that one. Corbin A. tried to return a necklace to Venerals and Morin hid in the wall, so Corbin kicked it down. Take that, Morin. Atlas Storm Reaper. Atlas just opened his very own Josh Fit. He's not promoting the meal plan, but everything else he's super into. Anyone can open a Josh Fit. That's the beauty of a box gym. Josh Stritch, a super jacked ostrich that has never had jock itch, even though they very rarely watch their jock strap. Cameron McKee, owner and proprietor of McUnald's, the only fast food chain in Bohemia owned and operated by awakened female sheep. E.L. Dreg, a.k.a. the Dregernaut, a deep-sea diver who spent their whole life training and mastering breath exercises and still can't hold their breath as long as moonshine can. Cameron C., the only barista in Bohemia, has mastered steaming oat milk, which is good because lactose intolerance is rampant in Bohemia. P.J.W., a fighter who made a pact with Ilsead to learn one cantrip, sacrifice their soul but can cast dancing lights whenever they want. Damiel R., probably best known from the Bohemian viral video Dan Damiel. Quentin J. started the beloved Crick autumnal tradition of Crick or Creep, in which you go stump to stump collecting crawdaddies in your timeout bag. Josh S., a crow keeper who's missing their beloved indoor crow, Caw-Caw. Accidentally left a window open and Caw-Caw escaped, is worried sick because Caw-Caw is diabetic and needs an owner who pays close attention to it, not one that forgets it for multiple episodes in a row. Dom R., a warlock lamp maker who powers their lanterns with dark instead of light. It's really confusing, but it makes sense when you see it. Jeremy B., the scientist who first discovered the use of hollow bodies, intended it for good, imagining people who were paralyzed or injured could have used hollow bodies. Penn to tell all, confessing that now they see how it's been used, they wish they'd never invented it. Logan C., the opossum veterinarian who, during a routine checkup for soft spots, caught a malignant tumor in its early stages on Pawpaw. It was successfully removed and Pawpaw has been medically cleared for both scrambling and general mischief. Baby Doc, a time-traveling baby who works out of a DeLorean airship, believed to have connection to the appearance of one Balnor. Jennifer V., part of an elite circle of wizards from Frostwind called the Blizzards. It sounds like they do cool ice magic, but really they just use their arcane know-how to keep the streets plowed. Colin G., the G stands for Gladeholm. Colin comes from a super elitist family of high elves, but he's secretly been letting crick elves crash in the pool house. Matt H., the giant diplomat who brokered the peace deal at the end of the Giant Wars. Barrington is the dwarven teen who's taken the lead ever since Ruskak emerged from the crypt telling everyone he was a little bitch. Jacob J., a bard that uses mirror image to turn themselves into a teen idol supergroup. The choreography is really intricate, but the fact that they do it in sync isn't all that impressive once you realize they're using mirror image. Destin C., a doctor in Bohemia, not a cleric, actually a barbarian who just went to med school, has no innate magical ability or pacts with gods or goddesses, just studied really hard and is good at their job. Devin B., owns a genie lamp, which would be super cool in the reality we live in, but in Bohemia it's kind of meh. Brags about the filigree and beveled gems on the lamp more than the genie itself. Nicholas R. introduced Bohemia to tapered jeans. Everyone's wearing tapered jeans now, thanks to Nicholas R. And finally, Jack W. Jack W. is actually Jack White. Jack White of the White Stripes lives in Bohemia. And with that, that is the end of our Council of Elders. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. And thank you to all of our Council of Elders. Head on over to the Patreon to listen to the short rest. We will catch you guys next time. Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum podcast.